Part 2, The Dharma. Chapter 6, Approaches to Buddhism. In the Udana, the Buddha relates the parable of the blind man and the elephant. A number of men, blind from birth, are asked to feel the body of an elephant and then describe the beast. Those who felt the head declared it to be a pot. Those who grasped the ear said it was a winnowing basket. Those who handled the tusk opined that it was a ploughshare, and so on. Eventually, with each one vehemently maintaining his own opinion, they began to quarrel and fight. The parable illustrates not only the one-sidedness of the sectarian teachers of the Buddha's own time, in connection with whom it was originally told, but also the wide divergences that can be noticed between the different approaches to Buddhism adopted by modern writers. Until very recently, three approaches were most common. They may be termed respectively the sectarian, the fundamentalist, and the encyclopedic. The basic error of the sectarian approach is that it mistakes the part for the whole. Quite early in the history of Buddhism, perhaps within a century of the Parinirvana, there arose within the Buddhist community circumstances which eventually led to the formation of different schools. Though differing on various doctrinal and disciplinary points, these schools shared a common tradition which united them to a far greater extent than their points of difference divided them. As time went on, however, and they started occupying different geographical centres, not only in India but throughout Asia, their differences gradually grew more pronounced. The result is that instead of consisting of one version of the Dharma only, Buddhism now comprises a number of different versions, laid, as it were, side by side and overlapping in various degrees. To identify Buddhism with one particular version, on whatever grounds, is ridiculous. As Dr. Edward Conser says, we have quoted his words elsewhere, but they bear repetition, the doctrine of the Buddha, conceived in its full breadth, width, majesty and grandeur, comprises all those teachings which are linked to the original teaching by historical continuity, and which work out methods leading to the extinction of individuality by eliminating the belief in it. Unfortunately, some corners of the Buddhist world have not yet awoken to the truth of these words. Books, pamphlets, and articles continue to be produced, which naively present a single branch as the whole tree. This is not to say that the branch is not a noble one, nor that individual accounts of the different Buddhist schools are not needed. We refer to something quite different, the practice of presenting, as complete accounts of Buddhism, what are in fact expositions of the tenets of one school, based on a highly selective reading of a single branch of the canonical literature, usually the Pali Tripitaka. Some writers go to the extreme of explicitly repudiating as not the pure Dharma all Buddhist traditions but their own. Despite occasional absurdities of this kind, however, the sectarian type of approach to Buddhism is fortunately on the wane. Throughout the Buddhist world, the conviction is steadily gaining ground that, so far as the Dharma is concerned, the truth, to apply the Hegelian dictum, is the whole. The fundamentalist approach is concerned with what the Buddha really said, really inverted commas. It has two forms. The first, to some extent, coincides with the sectarian approach, which, in one of its forms, maintains, even in the face of abundant internal evidence to the contrary, that the Pali Tripitaka consists entirely of the ipsissima verba of the Buddha. The second, the intellectually respectable form, is a product of modern scholarship, largely non-Buddhist. By means of textual criticism, comparison with archaeological and epigraphical evidence, etc., it endeavours to separate the passages belonging to earlier from those belonging to later strata of the canonical literature. Broadly speaking, this attempt has met with some success. The fundamentalist desires, however, a greater degree of certainty than the nature of the subject allows. Even if it is possible to isolate the most ancient texts, the problem of the relation of these to the oral tradition which preceded them, and of this to the Buddha's own utterances, remains insoluble. It is doubtful whether any known Buddhist text contains a line which preserves the Dharma in the same language or dialect in which it was originally expounded by the Buddha. The more strictly scientific methods are applied, the greater likelihood there seems to be that the fundamentalist will eventually be left with nothing but the Buddha's noble silence. Some, indeed, horrified by the void confronting them, have sought to fill it with their own arbitrary constructions of what they imagine the Buddha, inverted commas, really taught. Both forms of fundamentalism commit the mistake of assuming that the teaching is bound up with a certain form of words, and that unless these are known, it cannot be properly understood. Though such an approach is ultimately self-destructive, as we have shown, it has recently been adopted by at least one earnest writer on Buddhism. However, instead of pursuing the approach to its logical conclusion, the Buddha's silence, he stops short at those parts of the Pali Tipitaka he believes to be the most ancient, and then reverts to the naive form of fundamentalism with regard to them. The encyclopedic approach emphasizes breadth rather than depth of knowledge. It tends to confuse knowledge about Buddhism with knowledge of Buddhism. It is concerned more with facts than with principles, tries to see from without instead of feeling from within. For a century it has profoundly influenced, if not dominated, the world of non-traditional Buddhist scholarship. Since it is not an isolated phenomenon, but has its roots deep in the soil of the modern scientific outlook, whose general tendencies it exemplifies with its own special field, this approach is likely to remain important for some time to come. Provided its limitations are understood, and any mischief to which they might give rise guarded against, this is not necessarily a bad thing for Buddhism. Such scholarship has accomplished much useful work. Moreover, during the last decade, it has been leavened and enlivened, in the case of one or two well-known writers, by elements of sympathy and understanding which were originally lacking. Nevertheless, this does not alter the basic fact that, owing to the vast extent of Buddhist literature, which includes thousands of works regarded as canonical, besides innumerable non-canonical works, its aim of achieving complete factual knowledge about Buddhism, and from this inferring its nature, is impossible of attainment. The ideal approach to Buddhism incorporates elements from the sectarian, the fundamentalist, and the encyclopedic approaches shorn of their imperfections. It has for basis an insight into the Dharma derived from the actual practice of a system of spiritual discipline, which, owing to the specialized nature of such techniques, is necessarily that of a particular school, Japanese Zen, Tibetan Mahamudra, or the Thai Sama Arahan method. Despite this fact, it will be vividly aware and warmly appreciative of the multiple richness of the Buddhist tradition, and however firmly it may grasp a particular thread, it will never lose sight of its connection with the whole fabric. While accurately distinguishing earlier formulations of the teaching from later ones, and even preferring the former for introductory purposes, it will not commit the mistake of treating the age of a formulation as the sole criterion of its spiritual authenticity, nor consider the Dharma to be limited to its verbal expressions. Depth will not, however, exclude breadth. Besides keeping abreast of developments in the field of non-traditional Buddhist studies, the ideal approach to Buddhism will not only take all Buddhism for its province, but will enforce its conclusions by drawing upon as wide a range of scriptural reference as possible. Above all, it will be concerned to exhibit the living spirit of Buddhism.